Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Leashes of Valor in this morning. We are going to talk about the need for fostering dogs, especially, but the great work of Leashes of Valor. Leashesofvalor.org, the website, or you can also go to their Facebook page for all kinds of information. Karen Meadows and Lisa Berry in this morning again. It's good to have you both back this morning.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's great to be back.
We just had the greatest time earlier in the year when you came in, and just talking about how you train and fostering and everything. So we need to do this more.
Yes.
To talk about this, just because there are such needs in the community. Before we get going and talking about fostering and what you do with dogs, talk about Leashes of Valor for people who don't know. You've got the greatest logo anywhere, and your cars around town are just the best. They're all wrapped with Leashes of Valor, and you can't miss them.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, Leashes of Valor is a nonprofit organization, and we train and provide service dogs for post 9/11 veterans. So that's it'll be at no cost to the veterans. So,
and that's
they get a free trained service dog.
And we've done a number of shows over the years with Leashes of Valor, but to actually earlier in the year when a couple of veterans got their dogs. And for me to be there was just so, it was so moving, and really kind of completed the circle of hearing you two talk about, getting these dogs ready and watching you train them, just to see the kind of the handoff of those dogs and what it meant to them and their families.
Yes. It is very special for us to be a part of Leashes of Valor's trainers, but it's not just about the trainers. It really is about the full community coming together. We are very fortunate. We have some very fantastic fosters, and they are very dedicated, very committed, and they come to at least one of our six classes that we hold every week. And some come to multiple classes. So again, it just takes a village to build a we always said build a child, but for our case, a wonderful service dog.
So if they're coming to the classes that you do, is that just so they keep up to speed on what kind of training is going on?
Well, most of our fosters are not dog trainers. They've been dog owners over their lives, or maybe not necessarily even own dogs over their lives. Maybe when they had dogs when they were children and just dogs didn't fit in later on. And we help them with simple obedience and teach them how to work with the dogs. These dogs are raised from the very beginning. We pick very social dogs that like people, and then we have to modify that so that the trainer or the person working the dog is who's important to the dog when they're working. So we give them hints, and we teach them how to handle these dogs a little bit and get them started for us and help us get the dogs where they're going to be.
That is fascinating that you do have to have dogs that like people, but then to have to break them of that is, I guess, probably a big thing of what you have to do, Lisa.
That it is. It's interesting, and when the dogs are working, and they actually pick up on it pretty well. When we have vests on them, and most of the public recognizes that. If the dog is wearing a service vest, most people are very good about saying, oh, it's a service dog. And some will ask, can we pet? And sometimes, depending on the age of the dog and the dog, how far along they are in their training, we will ask the dog to make friends and sit, and they are allowed to be petted. But most of the time when they're young, we kindly tell the people that they're working right now and they really have to focus on their trainer, so they learn to focus on their veteran when they graduate.
When I went out and saw you two in the field working with all these dogs, I was just so impressed at how you handled them. But also the dogs themselves, dogs are really smart. I mean, really, really smart when you watch what you're asking them to do.
Yes. Well, when we evaluate a dog to come be a part of Leashes of Valor program, we really do try to look for that engagement. We want the dogs to want to be with us and look for ways so they can keep that engagement going, whether it's treats or rewards or movement, yeah, whatever.
So how do you find dogs?
Great question. All over.
We'll go to shelters and people will donate dogs, and then we just go and we'll do what we call a temperament test to make sure the dogs are very social. They don't have any environmental issues, like maybe they're afraid of noises or afraid of slick floors. We try and pick dogs that are pretty confident in themselves, but also they'll take food. So we have a reward system. Without a reward system, it's very hard to train a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, even today, you both have dogs, and you keep giving them treats.
If they're giving me eye contact, I want to reward that because that means she's paying attention to me. So right now, she's actually got her eyes closed and she's laying down. But if I move my seat, she looks up at me to make sure that I'm.
Yeah.
She's tuned in. That's really good.
The two dogs you have today, nobody can see them, but right. I mean they are just beautiful dogs. How far along are they in their training? Because they seem to be happy and confident and
yes. One of the dogs we have is actually one that was paired to a veteran in March, Grace, and then her sister Ruby is in here with us, and she will be going to a veteran in November.
Oh, okay.
So by the time they go out, usually they're close to 2 years old because we want them to be mentally mature, not just physically mature. That way, if their veteran has a problem, the dogs won't worry about it. They'll just say, hey, I've got this. You know, I've got you. So we want them to be mentally confident as well as well-trained.
It really is like you're like teachers or principals in a school of just evaluating, you know, when everybody's ready. It really is like that.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah.
You're just like, you're not only like teachers and principals that, you know,
you got to make sure once that dog goes to the veteran that it's a sure thing. So we always set these dogs up for success.
Yeah.
And the fosters help us do that. And our organization does. Everybody, it's always about the success of each dog. So, because ultimately that's what the veteran needs.
And once we turn them over to the veterans, if they call us with any questions or anything, they come to a school and we work with them. They get to work with their dog that they're going to take home. And so they get to learn commands and the dog stays right with them the whole time they're in school. But even if they leave, if they have a question about something, we encourage them, please call us and ask us, you know, if something comes up that you want some clarification on, please call us and ask us. Once the dog goes out the door, that doesn't mean we're not in contact with these people anymore.
Right. They can still come back and have some rehab training. They can come and hang out with us. They've got a place to stay at Axel's place.
Yeah.
The veterans do.
We're taking a quick break and come back, and we'll talk about really what you are looking for and what fosters do and all that. Fosters is our main focus this morning with Leashes of Valor, Lisa Berry and Karen Meadows in this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Meadows and Lisa Berry in this morning from Leashes of Valor, leashesofvalor.org. We're talking about the training of dogs for veterans and good stuff this morning. Lisa, you were talking about when you go in and you kind of evaluate dogs. I'm sure a lot of dogs sometimes as you evaluate them, just like anything else, some you're surprised at how well they respond and others maybe don't make it.
Some of them have too much energy that it would be hard to cap some of that energy. And some of them, you know, are just not as confident in the world. And we try and select dogs that are going to be confident and trainable so that they'll work for their veteran when they go to their veteran. They'll not have any problems with going places. And we don't know, they may be on airplanes and trains and subways. And
yeah.
So when we're selecting our fosters, We like fosters who take them places once they're ready, once the fosters have trained with these dogs a little bit, so they know the basic commands and can handle the dogs well. Then that's what we want. They want the dogs living in a home with people, learning home life and going to work and going to the store and going to doctor's visits. And the fosters learn how to handle them, and the dogs learn how to live in a home and be a part of a family and do a job.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So that, Karen, that takes away there may be people that think I would love to be a foster, but we travel too much or we go here or there and it just wouldn't work. It sounds like you want people.
We want people like that. We really do. We're very fortunate. We do have a couple of fosters that are very active in the community. So they'll take them to their board meetings. They'll take them to the gym while they're doing their, whether it's jazzercise, swimming. They know to keep the dog in a downstay. The dog sees them. I've taken dogs to gym class. Huh. And we have some that will take them to concerts. You know, you have a lot of outdoor concerts going on right now, and the dogs really do benefit from that. Not only do they get to have their vest on and do a little advertisement, but the dogs are getting trained at that point too. And they get very comfortable. No matter where you want to take these dogs, we want them to be a part of it, and even on family vacations. So by
doing all of this, by the time they go to the veteran, they're ready, hopefully.
Yeah, they've been acclimated,
anything.
Or they've been introduced to a lot of different scenarios, environments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that. That should open it up then if someone is interested in being a foster. So just talk about the foster program and how people get involved. And I guess you have people at different – people get the dogs at
different
stages.
Yes. Yeah. So the way you get involved is to go to the leashesofvalor.org. We do have a spot on there where you can apply to – be a foster, but we're looking for full-time fosters, which would be anywhere from like 3 to 6 months. Then we have fosters we need fosters for vacation fosters or part-time fosters that could only do like a weekend here or there, or maybe over Christmas break, or you know, if their full-time foster is going on vacation, they need someone, they're not taking the dog, then we need vacation fosters to, you know, hold the dog for like that week.
The foster for the foster.
Yes. Yeah.
But we have all these slots, and you don't have to just stay in that realm. Like if you are full-time and you're like, hey, things are changing, can I go to part-time or just as you need it? Yes, absolutely.
And I guess the more fosters you get,
yep,
the more dogs you can be trained in any one time.
That's exactly right. So we have a lot of need from the veterans. We have applications stacked up where veterans are needing dogs, but we can't take in more dogs if we don't have enough fosters. We have four trainers, very capable trainers, to help all the fosters keep these dogs online. But if we don't have the fosters to have the dogs to go live in these homes, then we are capped on how many dogs we can keep going in at a certain time.
I mean, and it sounds like the four of you who are the trainers can, you know, you want to deal with as many
oh, yes,
as you can.
Yes. So, well, yes.
Because there's a need.
There is a very strong need. And we're not, at Leashes of Valor is not at near their goal right now. We're still trying to get, we only have two classes a year right now for veterans, but we want to multiply that and help other organizations get their service dogs out as well. So we have big goals. But we cannot do it without great fosters from our community.
And it's just you need more.
We need more. And let me share too that our fosters, we're going to give you everything that you need. We're going to give you the food. We're going to give you the dog bed. We're going to give you the vest, any treats, bags,
leashes,
anything you need to help keep this dog maintained. Leashes of Valor will provide it. We take care of all the vet bills. We take the dogs to the vet. You know, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So the only requirement is if you can make one class a week, and we have 3 to 4 classes here in Fredericksburg every week and 2 to 3 classes in Richmond every week. So we're very active.
I was going to say, you make it very easy.
Very easy,
for anybody in Central Virginia.
We have morning classes, afternoon classes, and evening classes.
And you, how long do the classes? You
just, 1 hour.
1 hour. That's just what I thought you said. It's an hour. And just as a foster, to be able to do that, you'll learn a whole lot.
Oh, you really will. Even if you have other dogs, it will help you train them. So, but it's just really neat to be able to see, to help someone learn how to engage with a dog.
So when you're, I guess when you are at, when you bring a foster as a foster and you bring one of these dogs in, you can have other dogs, because they've got to, these dogs just in training have to learn how to get along with everybody.
I guess. And we do a case by case situation. If you have multiple dogs at your house, we'd really need to make sure that that our training is going to be upkept. We can't let them just run with the pack of your dogs, that this is a working dog.
Yeah.
And yes, they got to get along with your dogs, but they can't really hang out and play with your dog all day while you're doing other things.
Their focus has to be people.
Yes.
So dogs can't be more fun than their people, their foster, their trainer, their veteran. So they have to learn that people first, and, you know, it's not like they can't associate with other dogs. When we get together at training classes, we might have 6 or 8 dogs there, and we do healing exercises, and we do downstays with other dogs healing around and over them. And so they learn to get along and be able to work with other dogs, and that is important. But the people always have to be more important than the other dogs.
The other thing, I guess, the benefit of the person bringing who's fostering and coming to these classes, you're then able to see the dog and how it's progressing. Or if you see a bad habit, you can nip it right there and talk to them and see how they're handling a situation. And you can handle that and keep the dog moving forward.
Right. And sometimes it's not necessarily a bad habit. It's just sometimes not knowing the right information.
Sure.
How to handle something.
Yeah.
So, again, I've been a trainer ever since I was a kid, but do I train the way I did when I was a teenager? No.
Yeah.
I've learned so many more ways to do something. And that's how our fosters are. They're not afraid to learn.
Yeah.
You know, to like, oh, we can do it this way? That's great.
So. And as the dogs age and go through different stages, the training changes slightly. Mm-hmm. It's just like raising children. You don't reward or correct a 2-year-old the same way you do a 14-year-old. So, you know, the dogs are sort of the same. When they're puppies, you know, it's very motivational. Everything is pretty much positive for puppies. And then when they get a little older, it's a balanced training for sure. Still, we try and be as positive as we possibly can. But they also have to know that, no, that's not okay. You can't do that. You know, you can't open your mouth and gnaw on somebody's arm. Just doesn't go over very well. So, you know, I mean, and a lot of them are retrievers. So, boy, they're all mouthy when they're going through their teenage stage. So it's just, you know, they're different things based on and each individual dog is an individual, just like each person is an individual. So you kind of tweak the training. And it's like, you know, we've both been training dogs for many, many years, and we didn't come up with all these ideas on our own. We have learned from so many other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're like, well, I'll never use that in training a dog. And then you get that dog, and you're like, oh, I remember when that person. And that's what we try and do with our fosters. Some of them might get a puppy first, unless they say, oh my gosh, we can't handle a puppy. Then they might get a dog that's, you know, almost ready to go out. We kind of pair the dogs with the person's lifestyle and what, you know, what will work for them. So, you know, the same with them. You wouldn't foster and do a puppy the same way you would a dog that might be going out with a veteran in 3 or 4 months.
And I guess the more fosters you have, you are able to pair. You are able to see dogs and say, this dog would be better here, this
home.
Dog would be better there.
Yep. And then it's really neat for the fosters to be able to learn how you work with this dog is different from how you did with this one. And so they seem to be more engaged too, because they're learning.
Yeah. Boy, and as far as when you're a foster, just the fact, you know, you talk about, you know, you're supplying everything that they need. Mm-hmm. And what a great experience for your family.
Yes, very much so. And it's great. We have a lot of family that have children, And the kids are learning how to give back into the community
yes.
as well. And it is hard for some of the kids to let go of the dogs. But then, you know, we always invite them to any events that they ever want to come. If you want to sign back up for another foster, and bam, you get another dog. So the kids are learning, and they are taking part in the training as well. They come to the training, one-hour training lessons.
Well, it is. For the kids, and boy, for the animals to be around kids.
To be around kids,
consistently.
Exactly.
That's something that you just said. So that's why
fosters
are needed.
Fosters are needed.
We can't say it more.
Yep, and we cannot operate without them.
No, we really can't.
And I know in talking to you, in talking to Jason and others with Leashes of Valor, there always is the talk about we want to do more, and mm-hmm. that's the limitation right now is the fosters.
That's right. So, if anybody out there can help or want to find out a little bit more, please reach out to us at leashesofvalor.org.
And I mean, even if you can't do it right this summer or next month or something, maybe you could start in September. Go ahead and reach out now, and mm-hmm. we will start focusing on what kind of dog will suit your lifestyle and what you think will suit your lifestyle, and we can come to our
trainings and just watch and learn before they make the commitment. They can just come be a part of it and watch, and before they know it, we're putting a leash in their hand.
You can't make it any easier. You cannot make it any easier to
Well,
to,
if
to
we can, we want to know how. Yeah. So if we'll you try. Do know a way, please reach out to us and let us know.
Fosters needed for Leashes of Valor. That's our focus this morning with Karen Meadows and Lisa Berry with Leashes of Valor. Leashesofvalor.org. That is the website. Look for fosters, and there's an application there and all kinds of information.
Yes.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning. Karen Meadows and Lisa Berry here this morning from Leashes of Valor, leashesofvalor.org, and we really are focusing on fostering. We need to just a little bit about you, Lisa. You've done and been around dogs. You've been around dogs and Karen for a long time.
Yes, dogs and Karen for a long time. We've trained together. I did obedience training and some field trial work, and then I went to wilderness search and rescue for 10 years. And after I found wilderness search and rescue, I found FEMA and trained a dog for a search dog for FEMA. And Karen came on and with the wilderness group right there, and then she came on to the FEMA team. And so we have trained a lot of dogs, because you don't just train your own dog in wilderness. You train everybody's dog for any kind of search. So, and all different kinds of dogs, mixed breed to super high drive Mals to good old Labs to, it doesn't matter. They can be any kind of dog that wants to work. And so we've learned how to work many different temperaments and many different breeds of dogs.
Karen mentioned that she had been training dogs since she was just a child. Is that your story too?
Yes. You get your first puppy and you're like, oh, wow, what can we do with this thing? And I really did, because my dad was military, so he moved around a lot. And I had a hard time making friends because I was kind of shy. So I always had my dog. So I had always took a dog, and I, you know, if you mess with the dog and walk it enough and train it in your yard and other kids see you doing this, they might speak to you. And that helps a lot when you're moving from place to place.
If someone had said, describe Lisa Berry to me, I would not have said shy.
I would not never, now. I learned.
I would never have said
the
that.
The dog's brought it out in her.
And that's right.
Wow. That's another benefit for being a foster. What, so how you started out early, I guess, then, Karen, too, with dogs.
Yep, I started out. I was the kid running around taking care of everybody's pet while they went on vacation. And by the way, I'll train it, too. Okay, that's super. And then I went into AKC Obedience when I was an adult. And then did that for a little while, still took care of people's dogs, and I met Lisa and tried the wilderness group for a little while. Then I decided I wanted to go to FEMA, and so I've been with the FEMA team now for a little over 22 years.
Boy, there's so much what FEMA does in disasters and things. It's just it's just tremendous. But to see with what you're doing with Leashes of Valor, it's so easy to see how you two could transition from FEMA to Leashes of Valor, because you're using it all. You're using dogs and this training for such good.
Yes, we're exposed to a lot of different environments, a lot of different energies that are put off by people. In disasters as opposed to when people are calm or if they're lost. So we see how the dogs are starting to react to the different energies that people put off. And so we apply it to our training as well, and to help teach other people who are training dogs or fosters, watch your dog's expression. You know, we teach them the body language of the dogs, whether they're confused, whether they're uncomfortable or insecure or very confident and not really paying attention to you right now. So through all the years, we've learned how to read dogs and help translate it to teach other people how to do the same.
Interesting. Just all the various parts to this. You were telling me about going down to Short Pump today and how great it is there, because you run into so many things that you can work with dogs in an environment that has escalators and all kinds
That's
of things.
That's right. We have the escalators, we have elevators, we have the automatic
revolving doors.
and different flooring. You know, you've got the tile, the shiny tile, to concrete, to there's some steps that are different. So, and then just all the different commotion. We have a train. There's a little kid's train that's being ridden around, and the dog has to stay focused with the kids running and throwing ball there in the courtyard, and it's just a great environment to work your dogs with a lot of distractions.
Because we have to train these dogs for as many possible scenarios. We're not sure what veteran they might go with.
Yeah.
The veteran may be someone who rides the subway to work every day, or takes a train, or gets on an airplane, or so we want these dogs, when they go, they've been there, done that. And so they're comfortable. They'll be comfortable taking their veteran anywhere.
It's so interesting, because the first time I met you two was when you showed me at the Spotsylvania, the facility there at Axel's place, mm-hmm. where you train the dogs. And I thought that was all there was to it, not thinking that, I mean, you do a lot of the basic stuff there. But right. Just then, day to day, you have to do these kinds of things.
Right. That's where we introduce them to going on different elevations and then different footing situations, and starting to pay attention. This right foot, right front's this way, the right back is this way. And so the dog's staying in tune to themselves, but at the same time, they're getting a chance to trust the person that's teaching them this. And again, they're having success, and it builds their confidence when they're able to do these types of tasks. And that goes over into when they go into different environments.
They do that, and then they go into the foster, and mm-hmm. and because you can't be with you,
we
the
can't
two of you can't possibly
ourselves.
Train it all.
No, we cannot do everything that these dogs need. So we absolutely need fosters to help us. And in turn, we're going to help you help the dogs.
Yeah.
So we're going to make this nice little family get together several times a week. It is a team.
It's a team. The fosters, the trainers, the dogs, the families.
Yeah.
And the fosters go with us to Short Pump. I mean, they'll meet us down there when they can. They don't, you know, if they can't go, that's just fine.
Yeah.
But if they can, we go, and it's like, okay, your dog has been on an escalator before, and have your rewards ready, and let's do this, and demonstrate how to do it with, you know, different dogs and their dog, and teach them how to take their dogs into new situations and new environments.
Boy, as a foster, you really are part of this. It's not as though you're just taking care of the dog and we're giving it a place to sleep and we give it water.
You really are part of building this dog. Yeah.
You should be just as proud as anybody else when they go to their veterans.
Absolutely, because it will not be done without them.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, being a foster has a lot of benefits, but you really become a dog trainer.
Yeah,
Yes.
Yep. And with, being a part of helping a veteran that really needs help from yeah. this dog.
Boy, and that's and again, that's the thing, too. You hear these stories, mm-hmm. and they all talk about how they couldn't cope. And all Correct. Of a sudden, someone suggested Leashes of Valor, and they looked into it, and they've looked into the you know, having a dog and how it does change their lives, saves families, saves marriages, and
it
saves
truly
lives.
Does. It truly does. So we have a lot of veterans that are returning now, and some have had physical injuries, mm-hmm. which will then help go towards their post-traumatic stress syndrome. So they have a lot of internal battle injuries from these wars, and that's what people don't see. And that's where their biggest battle is. It's not about being an amputee or something like that. They had, mm-hmm. to get that, they had a lot more stuff going on inside. And that's what their true struggle is. And the dog really does help get their focus off of that internal struggle to the dog. And the dog's like, hey, we got this. We're going to keep moving. We're going to go into that store that you've been afraid to go into. I've got right here, and the dog's smiling, wagging his tail, and that person's actually able to put things in their cart and eventually go to the checkout line, be able to hand over the money, and walk out the store and have a successful trip. There's a lot of veterans that can't do that right now. And so that's why this need of these dogs are so important, that we need to help these people. We need yeah. these fosters to help get these dogs into the families of these veterans that need help getting to just do simple things as going into 7-Eleven.
Things we don't even think about.
No. But there's veterans right now that we're associated with. They can't go to their kids' graduations. They can't go to their games. They can't go to public events. That the ones that now have our dogs, they are able to get out and go out in spite of all the medicines that didn't work. Believe it or not, these dogs are doing what medicines can't do.
That's what's just gets you all choked up thinking about
it. Is
what
and
how
we
they
see
worked.
It firsthand.
Yeah,
and fosters do too. They get to be a part of the veterans, you know, when their celebration, and they get to be a part of their story.
And in this case, it would make it easier because being a foster, you mentioned it can be tough. You get attached, but when you can see what
exactly.
the work that you've done and that dog that you have prepared,
exactly
what it's able to do.
Yeah, it's indescribable, besides you know that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, and for you too, you just have to be just thrilled as you see these dogs progress.
Absolutely.
But it's emotional for us too when they go out the door. But it's like your kid going off to college. You're going to miss him, but boy, are you proud of him. Or if they're going off to the job and moving out of the home,
yeah.
you're going to miss him, but you're proud of him for taking that next step. It's the same. We're going to miss these dogs when they go, but we're so proud that they're going, and we're so thrilled that they're going to be doing a service for someone.
Yeah.
You always, in watching your training, the little I have, there always is the emphasis, and you talked about it this morning, just about always the emphasis on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about what's going on around you. Always focus on that person, and that has to make the person. And I guess that's part
sure.
of the whole magic of all of this.
Yeah.
That the veteran who doesn't want to go into 7-Eleven can see the dogs.
As soon as they look in that dog's eyes, and that dog's smiling right back at them, like, "Hey, we got this. Let's go. We're going in the store. It'll be great." And they're like, okay. And it takes their focus off of their negative feeling about themselves, about making sure this dog gets everything that it needs as well. That's their partner in life.
And they have to take care of it.
They have to take care of it. So
they got to feed it.
They get their focus off of their insecurities to make sure this dog is getting everything it needs to be able to help them in return.
I remember talking to one of the veterans who has a dog, and he was telling me that even after he got his dog and how wonderful it was, he still didn't want to go out. But he said, I had to, because mm-hmm. he said the dog needs work.
Yes.
And
that's
so
right.
he said, even though I was doing better at home,
right.
but it's gotten me out. So
right.
there are so many layers to all of this.
It really is. Yeah, that's a very good point. I forgot about that. And I know it's veteran you... Speaking of, yes, he said that was he had to do it to make sure this dog is getting everything that it needs to do its job to help him.
Yeah.
So it becomes a team.
It did, yeah.
It took his focus off of himself and like, right. Oh, I gotta work this dog and I've gotta do something for this dog and this. And so then he's not thinking about how uncomfortable he might have been. It's like, but I gotta work this
dog. Gotta do it.
Yeah. I'd never thought of that when he said that, and he kept saying, I have to. He said, I've got to work the dog.
Yeah.
He said, I was told that to keep the dog sharp and everything,
that's
the dog
right.
needed to work.
Yes,
and so got him out. So
that's right.
So yeah. Now again, it's all about fostering. And we're going to take a break and come back and wrap this up this morning. We'll talk about the program again, but the program can grow leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
If people sign up and become fosters.
Well, we need you. we definitely need you.
There's somebody in the neighborhood where the radio station is, and they love.
Yes.
They just love doing this.
She's on, like, what, her fourth?
Easily.
I think dog. She's fostered at least four dogs and sometimes vacation fostered quickly. And she comes to as many classes as she can come to. She enjoys it. And we love her. She is so...
She's become quite the dog trainer.
She's become we call her a foster trainer.
See, that's the thing. You really do turn people into dog trainers.
That's right.
Whether they want, whether they know it or not.
That's right. They're having a great time doing
You're more than just holding on to it. You're just keeping
absolutely.
The dog. That's the thing.
Yes.
So take a quick break and we'll wrap this up. Karen Meadows here and Lisa Berry here from Leashes of Valor. Leashesofvalor.org. One leash saves two lives. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Leashes of Valor this morning. Lisa Berry and Karen Meadows here from Leashes of Valor. Leashesofvalor.org is the website. Go there. Look for fostering especially. Also look for donating because Leashes of Valor, to do what you do, donations are needed. So don't forget that. And become a monthly donor or a regular donor to Leashes of Valor.
Or a one-time donor. That's
Whatever.
Fine, too. We'll take it.
Because there's a lot. We talked about you providing food and vets and all of that. There's money
that
involved
all,
there.
There is a lot of money involved. And we also have like an Amazon wish list, and you can check on that for us, where we do go through leashes and treats and dog maintenance, health care for brushes and stuff like that, too. So that's a way to help out with Leashes of Valor, just to simple donation towards Amazon.
So we really want more fosters, but especially you can also get involved with financially with Leashes of Valor. So go to leashesofvalor.org, look for donate, also look for fostering. And Karen Meadows, it's easy. You have made it easy, but as we have talked about, what an impact you can have on the dog, on the veteran, on their families.
That's
so many
right.
people.
Yep, and you really get to see it when you come to training. And then sometimes at training, we have our veterans that have already been awarded their dogs. They'll come to the trainings as well. So you get to have that rapport with these veterans, and you get to talk to them personally and learn how much this dog has impacted their life. And they'll thank you for being a part of it.
And boy, just to hear the stories and just to see how people, really, just how families and people have been saved.
Yes. Yeah, it truly does. It makes a big difference. These veterans now feel like that they can be a part of their family vacations and be a part of their day-to-day life, help the kids with their homework, go to their school events. So it makes a huge difference for these dogs to coming into these veterans' life. And again, we cannot do it without our fosters.
And the more fosters you get, the more dogs you
That's
can
right.
get into the program.
Into the program.
And the
right.
more and the more veterans that can be getting these dogs.
Exactly.
And some of these dogs are rescues, so it truly is one leash saves two lives. So we do look for rescues that we can train to become service animals for veterans. So we're taking a rescue dog and making it into veterans service dog.
Yeah, boy, to be able to know, are you two of the people who go around and look at dogs and analyze, let's give this, you know, this
all,
dog?
All four trainers, you know, we'll hear somebody will want to donate a dog here. They might, life changes happen to people.
Yeah.
And shelters, sometimes they'll say, hey, we've got a really nice dog here that might fit your program and we can go look.
Yep.
How long does the training, I guess, varies with the dog?
Yes. You basically plan on about 2 years.
Okay.
For the dog. Some, if we get them older, it'd be nice to have them out the door within the year, too. So, and a lot of our rescues, that's what they're doing right now. So we're very fortunate to be able to have some of the rescue dogs we have at an older age that we're getting them ready for next year's class.
It is. It's just like a school.
Yeah.
You're teachers and in everything, and to put all this together, and again, leashesofvalor.org. Look for the foster tab, along with donate, and again, really, there's no situation where you can say, well, we couldn't do it. So, I mean, you'll work with people, and I'm sure just even some crazy situations. You do look for those because it puts the dog in a situation and trains them for something that, I mean, because you want to train them for everything.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Any type of medical visits that they need to do for treatments and stuff, we'd love them to take one of our dogs and go through their treatment with them. So they're learning how to stay there right beside them. So
if the veterans have to visit the VA, the dog's been there, done that.
Yeah. And, or if they have to ride escalators.
Yep.
You can take him down to Short Pump today.
That's
and to do all that.
Yep.
Never a dull moment with you two. I mean, you really are always, I guess,
we're on the go every day.
Somewhere
different every day.
But more fosters and more, you can get more people into the program.
Yes.
And boy, and what you're doing.
It. Yes. We're looking for more people. So we'd love them to join us.
LeashesOfValor.org. Get involved there. LeashesOfValor.org. Lisa Berry and Karen Meadows, thank you so much for what you do in the community, because you both have such a passion for this.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of fun with it.
A lot of fun.
And again, to be a foster, all you need to do is to be able to come for an hour meeting a week.
Yep.
And that will.
And we're going to have fun doing that too.
Yeah.
So classes are fun.
you'll learn things, and you'll meet a lot of people too.
You'll get to meet the veterans. Like I said, a lot of our veterans will come and join in on the classes. So
and that kind of thing to meet the veterans, you really see that what you're doing.
Yeah.
Even if you've got a little puppy.
Yep.
That there's just such to be gained from that.
Sure.
So. Well, thank you both.
Thank you so much.
We will talk again soon, and hopefully we'll be talking about that you have more and more fosters.
And more dogs in the program and more veterans to serve.
Leashesofvalor.org. Get involved. Karen Meadows, Lisa Berry here this morning. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.